Thank you for joining us on the Children's Church of Christ podcast. We're glad you're here, and we hope that this message speaks to you in a way that helps you walk and live in community with God and in His kingdom this week. God bless you in your journey.
If you have your Bible, you can turn over to Acts chapter 17. If you want to head over there, we're gonna kind of be in the middle of Acts 17, starting around verse 16. But we're kind of making this turn into the end of Acts. It's been crazy. We've been in this book for 4 months. 4 months we've been in the book of Acts, and we've got. What do we say, Jacob? One more month. We got about another month to go to finish this out, right? But we've learned some pretty incredible stuff. We've talked about a lot of stuff. We've seen themes in this book that have repeated over and over and over. And what we're trying to do is to take some of the lessons that we're learning and talk to us as a church, as a people in Childress, about what do we do with this stuff that we're learning, right? What do we do? It's not just enough to hear it. It's not just enough to study it together, but God wants us to do something with the things that we're learning, right? So we want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Eric asked me this morning at the elders meeting if we were going to be talking about Anna and Ilsa because we're talking about going into the unknown. But no, not Anna and Ilsa today. That's the only time they'll be mentioned. We're going to look at Acts chapter 17. Paul is in Athens. This is part of his second missionary journey. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how he split off from Barnabas, and he is on his own with Silas and picked up Timothy along the way. And so they're on this journey. And actually at this place in Acts, he's left Silas and Timothy as well. Not left them permanently. He's just on his own for right now. He's sailed over to Greece and he's in Athens and he's there in this city and he's going to do some pretty incredible stuff. Let's read this. And then if you've got your handout, you'll notice there that I've got a few questions that we're going to ask ourselves. And then we're going to try to make some application with what we read today. Okay. So Acts chapter 17, let's read this. It's a long reading, but it's a good one. Starting in verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" And others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to the meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching that you're presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see you are in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar to this inscription, to the unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, that he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some have, your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's hands, design, and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men and raised him from the dead. Paul is in this place where he walks around. And I don't know if you know anything about Greece and Athens. I've never been there. I know a lot of people have. And it's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful place. And back here in Bible times, it was filled with glorious architecture and gardens and beautiful scenery and things to look at. It was well known for what it looked like and how beautiful it was and its philosophy and its way of thinking. It was a city that people wanted to visit. And Paul went to this city and he walked around and he saw a very different picture. He saw something a little different. He saw the beauty, I'm sure. I'm sure he saw the architecture. But it tells us the first thing that Paul notices, the first thing that it says about Paul when he's visiting this city is that he walked around and his spirit was provoked inside of him because of all of the idols, right? Because of all this idol worship that was going on around him. And it provoked him to a place where he had to go speak. He had to go talk. He went to the synagogues. He went to the marketplaces. He talked to anybody he could find, anybody who was around him, and he wanted to tell them about this God. And if you want to know what he said, it tells you he spoke to them about Jesus and about the resurrection. He didn't make it complicated. It wasn't a hard thing to talk about. He said, I need to talk about Jesus and the resurrection. And this new way of thinking, this new way of talking led people to say, we need to know more. We want to hear more. You're presenting some new idea to us. And so they took him to the Areopagus, to this place on the hill where it says that people went to talk about stuff all day, just new stuff. They wanted to hear all the new philosophies and all the new things, and they just spent their time just talking and talking and talking about nonsense, usually. About things that didn't really matter, because the one thing that did matter was God, and they didn't know him. They didn't know how to talk about him. And so Paul talks about them, about the unknown God, about this God that they worshiped all these other idols and all these things. And can you imagine having an idol to one God that you didn't know existed? And so you didn't want to leave him out, right? So you put up an altar to an unknown God just in case they missed one, just in case they weren't worshiping all of them. They wanted to make sure he was included. And Paul took that moment, took that time to say, let me tell you about the unknown. Let me tell you what you don't know, okay? Let me tell you about God. So a couple of questions as we've read that, okay? I just want to talk to us for just a minute about a thought. When was the last time your spirit was provoked? When was the last time your spirit was provoked, okay? And I don't know about you, but provoked is not a word that I run around saying a lot, but it means something like this, okay, to stimulate or incite someone, yourself or some other people, to feel or to do something, right? It's not just a word, it's a word that makes people want to go do something about it, okay, especially by causing anger in them. Okay, if you have a little brother or a little sister, you have been provoked to do things, right? You have been provoked to either go tattletale on them or throw them off a bed and bust their lip open when they are three, right? Right? She's looking at me. She knows who I'm talking about, right? If you have a little brother or a sister, or you've lived in a family, or you've been around people enough, you've been provoked. Okay, people have spurred you, have moved you to do things, and sometimes out of anger. Isn't it interesting that as we read about Paul, that as he walked around this city, he was provoked. His spirit inside of him, doesn't say the Holy Spirit moved him, he said it was his spirit that was provoked inside him to be angry, to want to do something about what he was seeing all around him. And so as we begin this morning, as we look into this, I just want to ask you that question. When was the last time that you looked at things around you in this world and your spirit was provoked in a way that you felt like you had to go do something about it, where you had to move to go do something? Just think about that for a minute as we go to the next question. Do we recognize all the idols in our lives? Do we recognize all the things that are surrounding us in our culture, maybe in our houses and our own places? Okay. Idols. Man, when we think of idols, sometimes we think about a golden calf or something carved out of wood or a little thing that we're going to bow down to. And idols can be more than just an object that you've made. Okay. Really, an idol is anything that you put in front of your worship to God, something that you put in front of you that you have made a priority over what God has asked you to have a priority over, right? Just some ideas, right? Things for you to think about, things that are hot button words in our culture today, right? Modern day idols, our identity, who we are, right? What I feel like I am. Our jobs, our entertainment, our comfort, our money, our appearance, sex, technology, all of these things can be idols that we place in front of our lives, right? That are more important to us than God. That we give more of our time and attention. There's so many more we could put on there. I didn't put sports up there. There's so much we could put up there. That sometimes we place in front of God and we say, these take priority, right? You ever thought of your family as being an idol? That you'd rather do things for your family than do things for God? And that we justify some of the things we do in our life as, well, God's going to get some glory out of this. I'm doing, but we don't always recognize that what we're doing is taking the place of God. Are we provoked and do we recognize idols? Do we recognize things in our lives that are taking the place of God? Okay, that's question two. And here's question three. What do we spend our time talking about? If you want to know where priorities are in your life, spend time thinking about what it is you spend time talking about. Right? Things that you are important to you. And I have to do this too. I am so guilty of every one of these questions when I think about my own life, the things that I place in front of God, the things that I talk more about than talking about who God is. Right? It says that these men and women in Athens went to the Areopagus up there to just talk about things that were new and exciting. Right? Things that they wanted to ponder. They just spent a lot of time talking. And I thought to myself, what do I spend the most of my time talking about? Am I talking about the Eagles? Yes. Am I talking about music? Yes. Am I talking about my job? Am I talking about my family? And I'm talking about the latest phone that's coming out, the latest technology that excites me. Am I talking about who has the best food? Right? I spend a lot of time talking about a lot of those things. And somewhere in there in my life, I spend time talking about God. You know, you've heard lots of preachers say this, but when you do a lesson, when you're building a lesson to talk about, most of the time it's just God looking at you who's building the lesson saying, you need to be right here. You need to focus right here, right? Talk to other people, cool, tell them, but make sure you're not forgetting that you need this just as much as anybody else. What do we spend our time talking about? I need to say this, okay? And I told Julia this morning this is going to be one of those sermons where you spend some time preaching at people and not just talking. Preaching at myself and preaching at you. I don't always like preachy sermons, right? But sometimes we need them. Sometimes it's good. So let me just say this. In the story that we read, we've spent 4 months in the book of Acts. We spent 4 months talking about Paul and the church and what's going on. But I need to say this. The story that we read is not about you. The story that we read is not about me. It's not about Paul. It's not about the apostles. It's not about people that are learning about God. It's not about the things that we see them do and the places that they go. The story in this book that you all have in front of you is not about us. It's about God. It's about who he is. It's about how God is interacting with the world. You notice when Paul talks to them about the unknown, he says, let me tell you about God. And God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. It is God who placed us in this earth. It is God who set us appointed times to live and where to live and how to go and how to be. It is God who gives us breath and life. The story Paul tells is not the story of himself. It's not the story of, let me tell you where I've been and who I am. He says, let me tell you about who? About God. About who this unknown God is and how he is interacting in this world. If we don't get that part, then we're kind of already off base about the things that we talk about. That our story, As the Children's Church of Christ, as people living in Childress, our story is not about what's happening here or out in the world or in our culture or in our community. The story we share is about God, first and foremost. That's who we should bring everything back to. How is God working here? And I think as we've gone through the book of Acts, we've tried to do that. We've tried to talk about the Spirit and him working through the people of God to advance his story, his life, his purpose, his meaning, not mine. And when we spend our time talking about things that don't answer the question of who God is, maybe we're spending our time talking about the wrong things. So let's talk about these 3 points. Right? 3 points. I got to leave enough time for us to do our activity. What do we take from this story? If we're going to apply what we just read about Acts and about what Paul was doing, what do we do? So the first thing is we need to be fluent in the unknown. Okay? Fluent in the unknown. What do I mean by that? We have a few people in this audience right now, not one of them. We have a few people in this audience right now that speak multiple languages, right? Multiple languages. Some are fluent in Spanish. Some are fluent in other things. I don't know any other languages that people are fluent with. I just know Spanish. Some others might know more. When someone's fluent, the way I understand it is they can talk and they switch back and forth and they're not doing a lot of thinking. Right? They just talk. You're fluent in English. I don't normally, if you spend enough time with me, you'll shake your head and say yes. I don't always think about what I'm talking about. Right? I just kind of talk. Right? Sometimes we just talk. But normally, if you speak English fluently, you're just talking. You know what it is. You're not having to think about how to do it. You're just doing it. I think as Christians, as the Children's Church, one of the things that we need to do, if we're not doing it well now, is we need to be fluent in the unknown. We need to be fluent in being able to talk about God in our culture and what's going on around us. We need to be fluent and able to share with others what we see and how God is working and what he is doing. Being able to share with others the story of God and what he's doing in your life. And it shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be something we have to think about. It shouldn't be something that we have to just, it should be something that just flows off of our tongue. It's so easy for us. to just talk about God. That's what being fluent means. When Paul was presented with an opportunity to speak about something, he looked around and said, "Ooh, the unknown God. Let me talk about that. I can bring that back to God." When Philip was with the Ethiopian eunuch, we did this weeks ago, Philip was reading out of Isaiah. I mean, the eunuch was reading out of Isaiah, and it says that he spoke to him about Jesus. Now, go find Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Like, he's in there, not by name, but Paul and Philip and apostles and people were so fluent in being able to talk about the story of God with people whenever they encountered them. I'm really fluent at being able to talk to people about things that are important to me. And you'll know if you talk to me. I was convicted today, again, this morning, as Bo was speaking downstairs, and he was like, let's talk about football positions. And he goes, if you named a football player, you could probably name a quarterback. You might be able to name a wide receiver, but how many of us can name offensive linemen? And I was like, I know every position on the Eagles, right? I know every position on the Eagles. Some people know scripture better than they know anything else. It flows off of their tongue. I want to be more like that. I want to be more like the person that when I speak, the things that I know are more biblical than anything else. Fluent in the unknown, okay? Two, we need to practice what we preach. We need to practice what we preach. So here's what I mean by this. Normally when you hear that, normally when a preacher stands up here and we say, man, we got to be practicing what we're preaching, we're saying, don't be hypocritical, right? Don't say one thing and go live a different way. Practice what you preach. If you're going to ask people to live a certain way, you better be doing it too. And that's all true. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what I mean by this today. When I say we need to practice what we preach, if we're going to talk about saying that we need to be people who speak about God and how God is interacting in our lives, then we need to practice doing it. You only get better at doing something by practicing it. You only get better of doing something by actually sitting down or standing up and going to talk to people. And what a better place than in the church together as we gather on a Sunday morning to practice what we preach, to talk to one another in our pews or going somewhere else, talking to our kids. Now, kids, I told you to pay attention because this is where I need you to be an example to us. Kids like to talk, okay? In just a minute, you're going to see a timer go up on that board. It's 5 minutes. Now, that might seem like a long time. Okay, 5 minutes is not long. It's going to feel like it for some of us. Here's what I'd like us to do. Let's practice what we're talking about today. For the next 5 minutes, kids, with your parents, I don't want you running all over the place. So I'm going to say with your parents. Tell them about God in your life this week. Parents with your children, tell them about how God has interacted in your life this week. How have you seen God? In the aisles, in the pews, if you're sitting next to someone, if you want to get up and go somewhere else, it'll be okay. I promise you can do it. For the next 5 minutes, you can move around. Tell each other. Let's talk to each other about how God is interacting in our lives. How we're seeing God in the world. What has He done for us? How is He encouraging us? How is He working on us? Okay? If we can't do it here, if we can't immediately just get up and say, I got to tell people about God, then we need to keep practicing, right? Because the story is too important. That's going to be the third point, but we'll get to that in a minute. Okay? 5 minutes we're going to spend practicing with each other. Okay? Are you ready? Sure? All right. There's your timer. 5 minutes. Something like this is telling everybody they have to be quiet now, right? That's the worst part. Maybe I should have put 10 minutes up there, right? I just want to tell you that part of what I just did, I did share some things with people, but one of the things I did was just stand back and listen, right? I just stood back for just a moment just to listen to what was going on in here, right? It wasn't quiet. People were excited. People were moving around. People were talking. Kids were coming out. This is church, right? Church belonging and community is not about coming here to listen to this joker talk or singing some songs. It's about being the people of God and telling God's story, right? We need to do it more. We need to talk more in this place about what God is doing in each one of our lives. Too many times we see each other in the hallway and walking up to worship and we say, "How you doing?" And the response is, "I'm good. Things are okay. You know, it's been a tough week. Sorry to hear that." No to the next person, right? Instead of, "Hey, how you doing today? Let me tell you what God did for me this week. Let me spend some time listening." Some of you guys are not talkers. Some of that was way out of your comfort zone to go and talk to people, right? Some of you are listeners. Some of you are encouragers. Those of us who are talkers need people who listen, right? We need to be able to talk to people and listen and banter with each other, but not about superficial things, about what God is doing, right? About telling his story, right? We'll practice what we preach. You don't have to do that here this morning with just now, right? All of us have families and people that we can go home to, your kids, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your wives, your husbands. Tell each other the story of God. Tell each other what's happening in your life daily, all the time, right? Share those things. Practice what we preach, because if we can't do it here with each other all the time, how are we ever going to do it out there? How are we ever going to spread the word, right? Because the third point is just as important. Time is of the essence, right? Time is of the essence. Paul leaves the Areopagus with one thought at the very end. He says, there is a time coming. At one point, God overlooked the ignorance of people, but now he doesn't do that. He wants all men to repent. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of who he is. And there's a time coming that is appointed that he will judge the world based on his son. And that's not always something we want to talk about. We don't always like to talk to people about judgment, but it's a real thing. And Paul didn't leave the opportunity on the table to tell people, you need to make up your mind, and this is important. And if we, as his people, understand that judgment is coming, it's a real thing, and that God wants all men to repent, then time is of the essence for us to go out and speak to the unknown, to speak to the people who don't know who he is, right? Time is of the essence. We were reminded about that one more time again just yesterday. We never know when God will call us home, or the people we love, or the people around us in our community. You never know. And it's at times like this, more than any other time, that people need to know who God is and what God is doing in this world and how good of a God he is. And a time is of the essence. We need to tell people. We need to be the people who speak about God all the time, everywhere, in the marketplaces and in the synagogues, in the churches, in our homes, in our schools, in our communities. Tell people, speak into the unknown. And when you do, make sure it's about God. The story is not about us. The story is about him and how good he is. Share that with people. The gospel is for all. Paul said that. The gospel is brought to you by God into this world so that you can respond to it. And I'm not going to leave it on the table today either. Right? Today is a day. Today is the best day. If you're in a place where you need to respond to God, whether it's through baptism, whether it's through repentance, whether through prayer and encouragement, whatever it is, we want to do anything we can to speak to you about God. No one should leave here today with a thought of, I just don't know who he is. Come find us. Let us talk to you about who God is. Whatever we can do, whatever we can help you with, we ask that you do that while we stand and we sing.